Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why MyLowe's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, it's time to rise and grind here on a glorious Monday morning. It's April 22nd, 2024. This is the Early Line Series, XM Channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. Donnie Wrightside and Davis Maddock. And over the next 3 hours, the hottest topics in professional sports. We are going to bring that heat, an exciting weekend as it was. The NHL playoffs, the NBA playoffs, Major League Baseball. You got golfers out here doing incredible things in the women's game and also the men's game. So my goodness, sometimes we like to say, is 3 hours enough? I'm Donnie Wrightside. He's Davis Maddock. And Davis, how was your weekend? Did you relax? Did you enjoy it? Are you ready to go this week?
I was relaxed. I was in the beautiful city of Kansas City this weekend after traveling for some family stuff. One of my teams, the Oklahoma City Thunder, got off to a great start. One of my other teams, the Colorado Avalanche, I tuned in for my first game in about 3 months and got treated to a 12-goal thriller between between the Avalanche and the Jets. So it's look, man, this is a very busy time in the sports calendar, the back end of April.
No, it's a great time. It certainly is. And this is the job we have on Monday morning to get you prepped on what happened over the weekend and how we can use it for future knowledge. How about the Clippers yesterday? 109-97 victory over the Dallas Mavericks. This was supposed to be an easy win here for the Dallas Mavericks. No Kawhi Leonard, no problem. Why? Because James Harden was absolutely fantastic for the Clippers as they iced the Dallas Mavericks. And take a look at this. We know the Mavs can score, Davis. In 8 point second quarter for the Mavericks. Yeah, that's not going to work. Clips easy over the Mavericks to take that series lead.
Yeah, I mean, look, really good job by Luka Doncic getting his 42 minutes in this game so that everyone who just looks at the box score can be like, Luka did his job. 33, 13, and 6. I mean, look, it's not Luka's problem. And then you go back and look and be like, well, how much of that came when the game was about separated by 25 points and Norman Powell was running the second team unit there for the Los Angeles Clippers? Not the start that Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks would have wanted. We'll see what adjustments they have for game two.
Yeah, I was interested in that game because that's one where you say if you're the Dallas Mavericks, you're waiting on Kawhi to get back. If you're the Clippers, it was announced that he was out for game number one. That's a game that you figure you need to win because the longer that you don't have that series lead, which again, the Mavericks don't now, you can sit Kawhi Leonard out and try to get him as healthy as possible before he returns. Same game plan maybe for those Milwaukee Bucks. 109-94 over the Pacers. This was one of those series where a lot of public dogs were saying, you know what? Pacers got this easy. Handle the Bucks in the regular season. No Giannis to start. This should be a victory for the Pacers. Not so fast. A blowout victory for the Bucks. About 35 points out of Damian Lillard in the first half. None in the second. And it didn't matter, Davis.
Yeah, so Damian Lillard already had the highest scoring game of any player in the NBA playoffs thus far in the first half of that game. Pretty simple explanation for what happened here. The Pacers played their playoff quality rotations, lineups, effort, and intensity against the Bucks in the regular season, and the Bucks treated those games like regular season games. The Bucks show up here, playoff rotation, playoff offense, playoff quality defense, and you can also tell, I mean, which of these Pacers players had playoff experience and which of them did not. I mean, it's pretty evident that this is a team of a bunch of young and untested guys, and there's a reason why Pascal, you know, really the only one with high-level playoff experience on the entire team, other than Bruce Brown, who is injured and not playing right now after getting traded for them. I mean, it's very hard to have a rotation of nine guys and have two guys on the entire roster with playoff experience, Donnie.
I got to tell you on this one, disappointing here, because, yes, Siakam played 40 minutes, 15 of 25, and 36 points. If you'd have just gave me that score in the box score, I'd say, yeah, the Pacers probably surrounded him with some pretty good efforts. They didn't here, and I don't know what happened with Tyrese Halliburton. 38 minutes, only shoots seven times, one for three from three-point range, doesn't get to the free throw line, scores 9 points in this game. You need more than that here, because when you're taking a look at the Bucks, we expected that Damian Lillard was going to shoot a lot, and he did, 24 shot attempts, but it was kind of interesting where he gets 35 in the first half, none in the second. But again, it didn't matter at all. You won the first quarter, being the Bucks, by 9 points. The second quarter, you won by 18 points. It was over at halftime here. We never got that incredible pace out of the Pacers. We'll see what happens in game number two. Probably an expected performance in the Garden, a place that the Boston Celtics rarely ever lose, going 37-4 in the regular season. Easily dispatched the Miami Heat, who did not have Jimmy Butler in this game, 114-94. The Miami Heat come out in this game. You know what? We're going to match up in a zone. The Celtics go, yeah, that's fine. We'll make like 100 three-point shots and bury you right off the break. The Celtics, I know it's a long way to go, but this was an expected performance for me, Davis.
Yeah, look, the Miami Heat are not going to hang around in this series. Boston leads the series 1-0. I'm ready to call this one over. I don't even think we're going to see a gentleman sweep here. I think this one is just going to be Celtics take care of business. You know, I'm a big fan of Tyler Herro. We talked about it when we did the show last week, but there is a lot of evidence that Tyler Herro is probably an 82-game player and not a 16-game player. Jimmy Butler, maybe not the greatest 82-game player, but one of the greatest 16-game players in the NBA right now. You miss that guy. You try and run the offense through Tyler and through Bam. It just really doesn't work. I mean, the team shot 32%. They only from three. They only made 12 threes in the entire game. Boston made 22 threes in this game. Shot 44% from three. Sam Hauser is out there in 14 minutes. You know, looking like, I mean, really like his counterpart on the Heat, Duncan Robinson. The Celtics, I think, are just too good, really, for any team right now, other than maybe your Philadelphia 76ers in the entire Eastern Conference.
I had multiple three-point prop parlays, and the only one that I did not hit, the player, I should say, was Jason Tatum. He went 1 of 8. I needed him to make 2 3-point shots. Every single player out of the 8 that played for the Celtics made at least 2 3-point shots except Jason Tatum. But Tatum did come away with a triple-double. They did win the basketball game. But help your guy. Come on. Help a brother out here, man. Make another 3-point shot. We'd have all gone home happy yesterday. Tell you who went home happy yesterday. The Oklahoma City Thunder fans in a 94-90 victory over the Pelicans. I saw this game tied up late, and the Oklahoma City Thunder prevail even after a late three-point shot attempt was failed for the Pelicans here. How about that, OKC? Woo, deep breaths. They got that first win.
Man, and you know the tension was high for these young guys and in that building there. I mean, playoff basketball returning to Oklahoma City after a long, long layoff. Obviously, the guys on this roster with playoff experience, they did it in the bubble. So Oklahoma City has not had, you know, a good playoff run in, you know, I guess 8 years since they've had a chance of going into the playoffs thinking that they could win a series. Chet comes up with a huge block in crunch time. Giddey does not play particularly well, ends up spending a lot of time on the bench for Isaiah Joe and Cason Wallace to come in for him, but Jalen Williams was awesome in this game, and Shea, I mean, definitely not his best shooting game, but the thing you can say about him was he never stopped coming, ends up getting 24 shots off in this game. I think now that Oklahoma City got this, you know, the escape by the hair of their chin win, I think this one, I'm going to put this in the same bucket as the Celtics. I think this one is over. They had their nervous moment. They overcame it. I think this is a 4 or 5-game series.
Home ice advantage in the playoffs yesterday held up the Panthers 3-2 victory over the Lightning, the Rangers 4-1 over the Capitals, the Jets 7-6 over the Avalanche, and the Canucks 4-2 over the Preds. How about that on the ice? Home ice advantage, Davis.
Home ice advantage. I think we're going to get treated to some pretty good hockey in these rounds. A 13th goal thriller between the Avalanche and the Jets. I was locked in to that one. I mean, look, it was a little bit discouraging watching. It was so frenetic, which you don't see a ton when you're watching regular season hockey, but hoping Colorado is able to extend that.
There you go. And how about this? Major League Baseball, the Dodgers bouncing back. Don't hear that terminology too much. A 10-0 victory over the New York Mets yesterday. A complete shutout there. Glasnow goes 8 innings pitched, 7 hits, 0 earned runs, and 10 Ks. A masterful performance. And also, how about this? More mastery here. Goff. Take a look at Nelly Korda. 5 straight victories, going for number 6 next week. And Scotty Scheffler, if you thought he was dead and buried over the weekend, if you woke up on Sunday, what? Scheffler has the lead, and we actually have Goff going on live right now at the RBC, Davis. How about that, huh?
Phew. I needed Colin Morikawa to pull this one out, but Scotty Scheffler, man, he is inevitable. There's nothing you can do about this guy when he's feeling it.
It's pretty crazy, man. Yeah, like Scheffler was down 7 to 8 shots heading into the weekend and is easily going to win the RBC. And that's off a Masters performance. The guy doesn't let down here. Is he going to win every golf tour? Is he Tiger right now? That's what the people are saying. Let's get back to the NBA and have some fun and recap what happened over this past weekend right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number one in full effect right here for the Early On. A Monday morning and a spectacular sports weekend it was. It's Donnie Wrightside and Davis Maddock hitting all the hot topics, which certainly center stage, you know it. It was the NBA. Let's go back to a preview here, the Clippers and the Dallas Mavericks. Davis, let's set the table for this one for this series because I liked the Dallas Mavericks based on what we were listening to last week coming out of the Clippers. You didn't see Kawhi Leonard down the stretch. He's taking injections into his knee just to calm some of the pain and the swelling. And then it was announced that he was not going to be available for game number one. So the Dallas Mavericks now favorite as much as 3.5 points for this game with a total around 222. Final score 109-97. That should have been the Dallas Mavericks with 109, but it wasn't. It was the Clippers because similar to what we saw to James Harden last year in a playoff series against the Boston Celtics without Joel Embiid, he can handle his business. 28 points in that game, which included 6 of 11 from three-point range. Zubac chipped in with 22. Paul George with 22 as well. Excuse me, 22, and Zubac with 20. An impressive performance by the Clippers, but it leaves me saying, like, come on, Dallas. Like, I want to believe in the Dallas Mavericks, and then we get playoff opportunities to take care of the Pacers, where you might be getting breaks on the injury side, and you didn't get that yesterday. The Clippers were the better team over the Mavericks, and that was disappointing for me, Davis.
It's really disappointing. All the new guys in the Dallas Mavericks rotation did not show up. Derek Jones Jr., 0 points. Daniel Gafford, 3 points, 0 rebounds. PJ Washington, 11 points on 10 shots. Tim Hardaway came off the bench and was fine. You know, you toss in Derek Lively as a rookie in a playoff game. He really does nothing. Like, Zubac was phenomenal in this game. 20 points on 17 shots. Didn't even have to get to the line. 15 rebounds for Zubac. So you look at it and you go, yeah, the Mavericks really blew this one here because Kawhi might be available for game two. He might be available for game three. The Clippers are probably going to be favored in those games. And a lot of people were very confident in the Mavericks in this series because Luka has pressed the Clippers so hard in the past when they met up in the playoffs. Although what a Clippers fan would tell you would be, sure, everyone remembers Luka really giving the Clippers the business. But in the end, the Clippers have taken care of this Mavericks team every time they face them in the playoffs. When I look at the Mavericks, this is the big thing that really sticks out, which is that Maxi Kleba still is a huge part of their playoff rotation. 27 minutes off the bench, ends up playing more minutes than Gafford and Derek Jones Jr. Look, we've done the Maxi Kleba experiment so many times, and it's just, he's a good player. If he had to play 18 minutes in the series, I think you'd feel pretty good. I actually think one of the lineup adjustments they could make is starting PJ Washington and Derek Lively together, particularly in the games where Kawhi is not playing, so you don't have to have another perimeter defender like Derek Jones Jr. out there. And you just say, we're going to rebound our own misses, and Derek Lively is going to stay there in the paint, because you can't, look, you can't even let Zubac get 17 shots off. The idea that Zubac would be the one who is killing you, I mean, that is really embarrassing against a Clippers team that has Paul George and James Harden, right? Like, that Zubac would be the one who's kind of leading the winning effort. So I think that should be a move the Mavericks make. I don't know if they will make it, but I know they're not going to win this series with Kleba playing their most minutes off the bench. And, by the way, not making any three-pointers. Like, if you're going to play Kleba, play him at center and have him shooting threes, because having him and PJ Washington out there together, neither of them making their three-pointers, I mean, that's just going to be losing basketball.
Hey, Ivica Zubac there, plus 15, which led the way here for the Clippers. But if we are focusing on the Dallas Mavericks, it has a feel to me, Davis, where I talked about last year the Phoenix Suns. You go in with some crazy good upper echelon talent, but the surrounding talent is not helping that out. We thought we might have had that handled for the Mavericks, going, okay, we can get those big nights from Irving. We can get the big nights from Doncic here, but we have surrounding parts that can help us out. The other three starters, if we take away 31 points for Irving and 33 points for Luka Doncic, 14 points combined, as you said, Jones Jr., 18 minutes, no points here. Gafford only played 14 minutes. He had 3 points here. PJ Washington, 37 minutes and only 11 points in that game. It'll be interesting to see who steps up off of the bench and or those B players here for the Dallas Mavericks. But if we focus on the Clippers, look, Tyronn Lue's a great coach here. You take a look at, again, that equal scoring in the lineup, 22, 20, 28, 13, and 6. And then you had Westbrook off the bench, 23 minutes at a plus 9 and scored 13 points. The Clippers moving forward now, we see them settle in. They can win basketball games, and it certainly feels to me like the Mavericks must take game number 2. And we don't know how long Kawhi Leonard is actually going to be out in this playoff series and when he's going to come back. So if we look at the updated standings here for this series, round number 1 odds, money line, the Clippers now the favorites here in this series. At a minus 142 price, the Dallas Mavericks are now a dog at a plus 116. The spread now flips over to the Clippers here at a minus 1.5, plus 146 price. And if you take Dallas getting a game and a half, that's a minus 180 for the series to be closed out in 4 games, 10-1. 5 games, plus 220. 6 games, plus 170. And 7 games at a plus 195. Let me ask this question now, looking at the Mavericks. Are we panicked over them here? Or is it just like, you know what? Game number 1 wasn't good. They should be much better in game number 2 for you, Davis.
No, I think you got to press the panic button, because what's your answer? I mean, it's not going to get easier when Kawhi Leonard returns to the lineup. Are you going to do Derek Jones Jr. and Maxi Kleba and just kind of try and pace and space your way? Like how much better can Luka? I guess Luka could play better in the first half. You know, if you're going to have an 8-point, if you're going to have an 8-point quarter, you're just not going to win very many playoff games. But also, I mean, Paul George and Terrence Mann are like really good on-ball defenders that are out there to defend Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving. And I suppose if Luka has a more efficient offensive game, that some of these concerns are going to be, you know, they're just going to be waved away because Luka Doncic really is that good. But I don't see an obvious solve on defense other than just playing better, right? You know, so you replace some of the Kleba minutes, you're playing double, you know, maybe you play Kleba as the off man with Lively or something, and you don't have Derek Jones Jr. in there at all. If I had to make a bet on these spreads right now, I would be on the Clippers side. I'd probably be on the 6-game series, because there's not going to be a series where Doncic doesn't have one completely nuclear game, you know, 55 points, 11 assists, 9 rebounds or something, because he is that good of a player. But the Clippers are undoubtedly, I mean, they are the better team. Doncic might be the best player in the series, but the Clippers are the better team.
Mavericks made 25 free throws to 11 to the Clippers. That's a major advantage, but sometimes you live and die by that three-point line. You take a look at 10 three-point shots made for the Mavericks, 18 three-point shots made for the hometown Clippers, which included 50% from three-point range. Big-time victory for the Clippers here. We'll find out what they do in game number 2. Coming up next, we're going to go over Pacers and Bucks. Game time!
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Milwaukee Bucks and the Indiana Pacers. Time to hit the hardwood here because, again, just like we talked about the series with the Clippers, we have some injury concerns to watch out for the home team and higher-seeded team. Unlike the Milwaukee Bucks here, Giannis Antetokounmpo is out. The Pacers are healthy. The Pacers, Davis, were actually favorites coming into this game at the FanDuel Sportsbook at minus 1.5 price. We thought we would get some good tempo out of the Indiana Pacers because that's what we saw in the regular season. But the questions always arose. The regular season is a different animal than what we find out in the postseason. And as you saw right away, 21 points out of the Pacers in the first quarter, 21 points out of the Pacers in the second quarter, as the Milwaukee Bucks were running away with this game. Why? because Dame Lillard was absolutely sensational, dropping 6 3-point shots in the first half and route to 35 points. That's all he needed. An easy victory for the Bucks over the Pacers game number one, Davis.
I mean, look, who has been there and done that before? Damian Lillard, been there, done that before. Bobby Portis, NBA champion. Chris Middleton, NBA champion. Brooke Lopez, NBA champion. Patrick Beverley has been in playoff games. Feels like my entire adult life. Like, when I think back about watching basketball, like when I was in college, I mean, Patrick Beverley has just always been there. Jay Crowder, been there. Pat Connaughton, you don't think about it, Pat Connaughton has been there, right? The entire rotation for the Milwaukee Bucks, even without Giannis, they've all been there and done that. You look at the Pacers roster, who's been there and done that? Not Halliburton, not Nembhard, not Turner, not Nesmith. Pascal Siakam is the only one with high-level playoff experience, and anyone, in all, really in any sport, but particularly in basketball, will tell you it's just a much different experience playing in these high-level games. The Pacers came out, and the moment was just too big for them. They lose the first quarter. They lose the second quarter. It was pretty much over then. They end up winning the third quarter, but whatever. I mean, the game was kind of already done and dusted. By that point, Damian Lillard was so good in the first half. And, you know, I'd kind of eschewed this, you know, coming in. I was like, well, the Celtics are just going to win the Eastern Conference unless the 76ers, unless Embiid is like 100% fully healthy, Maxi's playing at the top of his game. There's just no one that's going to touch the Celtics. And smart NBA people were like, well, you know, the Bucks are a pretty good team. And sure, maybe they don't get it together in the regular season. But a lot of teams, you know, kind of treat the regular season this way. The Heat have treated it this way. The Nuggets kind of treated it this way for most of the regular season, which is, yeah, you've got to get into the playoffs, and it's nice to have home court advantage, but it's not that important. What's important is winning and beating who is in front of you in the playoffs, and that's clearly what's going on with the Bucks here, which is they're just a much better playoff team. I hesitate to even say they are clearly the better team than the Pacers, because I don't even know if that's true, but they are definitely the more experienced team. And I suppose there could be a big overreaction here if Giannis truly is not going to be able to play for like another 10 days from the point that you and I are talking right now. Like, if you told me that, the Pacers price is probably the bet here. Like, you just say they regroup. They're like, all right, we got our big bad meltdown out of the way. Now let's get serious. The Pacers could definitely win the series.
Every other game, Dame, let's see if that happens, because he was masterful here in that first half. 35 points, 6 triples that he knocked down, also chipping in with 6 rebounds. This is what you got Dame time for, right? This is the guy that's supposed to step up in the big moments here, and that was a big-time win because, again, we said this wasn't the Bucks coming in as a 7.5-point favorite and should be able to easily pound the Pacers. The Pacers had their number in the regular season, but it just didn't work out yesterday. Now, the one guy that I was really disappointed in there is obviously Tyrese Halliburton, 38 minutes here. You got to be more forceful than that. 9 points. That's not good enough. Maybe that sets a fire under the Pacers. If we reset this round here, you take a look at the money line now. Heavy favorite on Milwaukee at a -230 price. If you still want that dog price here on Indy, that's +184. The series spread now, Milwaukee -1.5 games at a +108. You see the Pacers +1.5 at a -132. Sweep 7-1, 7 games 2-1. So some discrepancy there between 4, 5, 6, and 7 as usual. But is it just so simple, Davis? You take a look and say to yourself, well, the regular season is different than the postseason. What do we expect from game 2 from the Pacers here?
I think it is probably that easy. I just think that the Pacers, you see this a lot of times with NBA teams that have an unexpectedly good regular season. They do not have another gear to go. They played their best basketball in the regular season. They can't ascertain a higher level than that. I still might bet on the Pacers here if the Giannis health news is bad, because can Dame be that efficient in the first half? Probably not. And then where do you go? That's the thing. So if Dame is having a bad game in this Bucks lineup, who scores? I mean, who would score for this team if Dame is not going for 35 every night?
Exactly, specifically 35 in the first half to put the game away. We'll see game number 2, but the Pacers can't afford to get another loss with Giannis possibly not on the court. Let's take a look at another injured team, the Miami Heat. They got pounded by the Celtics. 3-point barrage. We'll talk about it next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Monday recap in the NBA continues right here on the Early Line, SiriusXM Channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. It's a Monday morning. It's Davis and Donnie. And in Boston yesterday, a 2-touchdown favorite for the Boston Celtics over the Miami Heat. They easily covered that in a 114-94 final over the Miami Heat, which saw the Boston Celtics win the first quarter by 5 points, the second quarter by 10 points, the third quarter by 17 points before cruising to that double-digit plus victory. Now, the one thing that you can say is, when you're on your home court, Davis, you typically shoot better at home than you do on the road. But I don't know if anybody saw the Boston Celtics going 22 of 49 from three-point range, 45% as a team. And my goodness, if your defensive strategy for the Miami Heat was, you know what, let's just leave Sam Hauser wide open in the first half so he can just crush three after three after three and put us away, that's what we found out. The Boston Celtics, as we know, are a really good basketball team, but I think they set the tone for this year and said, hey, Miami Heat, not this year, pal. Not this year.
I mean, what do you want the Miami Heat to do? They are without their best player. They have had to play, you know, they've had to play more basketball games than the Celtics. The Celtics are the best team in the NBA by like any metric. They have almost doubled up the second team in regular season net rating, which is the Oklahoma City Thunder. Their bench players can all shoot threes, even if they're not great defensive players. But as the Miami Heat, how do you even want to punish the Celtics for playing Sam Hauser and Peyton Pritchard? I guess you just have Hero put Hauser or Pritchard in the action as much as you can, you know, get them up to the point of attack. But then you have, you know, these great interior defenders, you know, you still have Kristaps and Horford there at the rim. Like it's not an easy solution. I know Spoelstra is, he's this great coach, and everyone has so much respect for the Miami Heat organization, but they're totally outgunned here. It would have been a long shot even if Butler was able to play, but he wasn't. So when Butler's not playing, that means you're giving minutes to Haywood Highsmith. That means, you know, Jaime Jaquez has to play 35 minutes. It's just not really that fair. And this is what we should expect. You know, anyone who is, I guess there's just sort of the meme that like, oh, the Heat, once they get to the playoffs, they really turn it on. They lock in. No one can score against them. But that's not going to pertain to the Boston Celtics. Like the only way you're able to get the Celtics in a bind is their late game offense. Like if anyone had a criticism of the Boston Celtics, it's really just of their late game offense. And there wasn't a late game offense to be played here. When you're up 30 points heading into the fourth quarter, it doesn't matter. There's no pressure. So the Celtics are just going to, I think, steamroll here. And I think we probably see a 4-0 sweep here.
It looks like it's going to be. And again, as we know, like the Celtics have always had a pretty good bench, but in the playoffs, even shortened that bench. So 8 total players played for the Celtics. But if you're going to get performances like Hauser, 4 of 6 from 3-point range off the bench, Horford, 2 of 5, Pritchard, 2 of 5 from 3-point range, it's going to be hard because you know that avalanche is coming from that oh so talented offensive starting lineup here for the Boston Celtics. Easy victory for the Celtics all the way through. And if we reset the series, well, I don't know how much, you know, is this a parlay piece for us, Davis, that we can use? Moneyline Celtics minus 50,000. You have the 40-1 price here if you're taking a look at the Miami Heat on this series. Boston minus 3.5 games at a minus 154 price, which means the sweep needs to come. If you look here just for that gentleman sweep and would take the ticket down at 3.5, you get a plus 126 price if you're backing the Miami Heat. Series sweep here, now the favorite at a minus 170. If we see 7 games, congratulations, you're getting a 19-1 price. So if I ask you, like we expect this from the Celtics, they're tremendous on their home court. What can the Miami Heat do without Jimmy Butler in game number 2 that can look anything different than what we saw, Davis, in game number 1?
I mean, Bam was very good in this game, 24 points on 18 shots, got to the line. I suppose one of the biggest issues is they only shot 6 free throws as a team, which means they got to the line 3 times in this game. I mean, look, you're just not going to win playoff games at that kind of discrepancy, especially when you only make 12 three-pointers. I suppose if they really wanted to get weird, if Spoelstra really wanted to say, you know what, I am going to use everything that I've got, I'm throwing the whole kitchen sink at it, I think they could start Kevin Love instead of Nikola Jovic and just go all in on trying to shoot. You know, like we're coming in and we're going to shoot even more three-pointers than the Boston Celtics. We're going to have Hero in the pick and roll with Bam. We're going to have Kevin Love spacing. Oh, and they could start Duncan Robinson over Jaquez as well. So that would be, I mean, that's a very bad defensive lineup. I don't know how you get stops with that lineup against Tatum and Brown, but they didn't get stops anyways. So if you can't get stops, even with your best defensive lineup, maybe you just say, screw it, and let's try and shoot our way out of this. And if we think back to their successful playoff run last year, I mean, they just got those crazy shooting performances from Max Strus and Gabe Vincent. Like, there was a stretch of the NBA playoffs where Gabe Vincent was shooting over 60% from three for, like, an entire series for the Miami Heat last year. Nikola Jovic is not going to do that. Caleb Martin is not going to do that. Hawkes is not going to do that. Duncan Robinson and Kevin Love could do that. Now, are they going to give you anything on defense? Like, is Kevin Love... what would you even do with Kevin Love on defense against this Boston Celtics team? I guess what you could do is you could try and match his minutes with Al Horford's minutes, because Horford is not going to move. So Kevin Love can at least be on Horford and try and get in his way, get his hands up so that they're not able to do that offense to the top of the key with Horford. That's all. That's really all I got. I mean, I'm not Eric Spoelstra. I'm not a genius like he is. That would be my one suggestion, is you start Duncan Robinson, you start Kevin Love, and you just say, we are going to shoot 47 three-pointers in this game and just try and make half of them.
Yeah, not being able to hide anybody on defense, that's why you see some of that matchup zone that comes out here. And look, if you're going to be knocking down three-point shots against the zone, you're going to bury your opponent. That's what the Celtics did. How about a game that we saw basically a double-digit favorite and a total of around 220 go way under, and the home team doesn't cover, but they still win. Home court advantage matters. Oklahoma City, 94-92 over the Pelicans in this game, which saw identical scores in the first and second quarter. 17 apiece in the first quarter, 26 apiece in the second quarter. A six-point win in the third quarter by OKC was enough to carry this game, but it was tied down the stretch. But OKC pulls off this game. Yet a pretty good balanced scoring attack here from the New Orleans Pelicans. And also, we want SGA to step up. He did yesterday, 28-point effort, 6 rebounds, and 4 assists. OKC gets the 1-0 series lead over the Pels.
They do. I believe the Pelicans were the only team in the first games of the first round to be an underdog that lost but ended up covering. You know, that's such a thing in the NBA playoffs. These teams are just, they basically, the good teams just totally pull away because starters stay in longer than they normally would. The Pelicans gave a good account of themselves without Zion in this game. Brandon Ingram, again, Not very good. You know, who's better? Trey Murphy. Trey Murphy III just, I think, is really, really underrated for the Pelicans. And I think that there's been some allusions to this from national writers, which is there's a little bit of a politics problem there in the Pelicans locker room because Trey Murphy is probably their best remaining offensive player. But the team is not built that way. You know, the team is built around playing with CJ McCollum at the point of attack, and Ingram is their primary, isolation scorer. But Ingram was bad in this game. Valanciunas, this is what people said about the Thunder coming in, was they don't play with a center. So if you play a big center against them, he can just completely dominate you on the boards. How about 20 rebounds in 29 minutes for Jonas Valanciunas? 52 rebounds as a team for the Pelicans, only 44 rebounds as a team for the Thunder. Is that going to be a problem against other teams? Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a problem against the Pelicans, but it's for sure going to be a problem against the Nuggets. You know, I don't know what you do if you're Oklahoma City. Maybe they have a chance to figure it out here playing against Valanciunas and against Larry Nance, but this one, I think, again, much like Celtics Heat, I just think is going to be over pretty quick. I think this is a 4 or 5 game series in favor of the Thunder.
Yeah, and Valanciunas, 9 offensive rebounds by himself in that game. If we take a look quickly at that money line price, OKC now a minus 1,300 price to take this series. And if you're looking for this game to be a sweep, that's a plus 220 price. The favorite now, 5 games, so a gentleman sweep in favor of OKC. But I think that's a big victory for OKC, getting their playoff feet wet here with a victory in a close game, face some adversity, and they handled it nicely. We'll see what they can do in game number 2. How about the Lakers? Same old, going up against those Nuggets. We're going to go over that game next. Game number 1, woohoo, let's see what we have.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
World champion Denver Nuggets taking the court to try to defend their championship this year against the Los Angeles Lakers. It's Davis and Donnie here on a Monday morning going over the Denver Nuggets and the Lakers, the nightcap from Saturday night, which saw the Denver Nuggets 114, the Lakers 103. The Denver Nuggets came in as a 6.5-point favorite, which was down from 7.5. So some movement going towards the Lakers didn't matter. The Nuggets get the cover, and this game does stay under the total. Now, the interesting part for this game for me, Davis, was the Lakers coming out strong early, 33-25 over Denver. Maybe they would change the code here because, quite frankly, last year in the playoffs, it was a sweep by the Denver Nuggets over the Lakers. The regular season, it was a sweep from the Denver Nuggets over the Los Angeles Lakers. And game number one of these Western Conference playoffs, an 11-point victory for the Nuggets here. Is it just so simple, Davis, to say that the Lakers just can't beat the Nuggets?
I mean, a lot of teams just can't beat the Nuggets, right? There's not really a ton of shame in that. And if the Los Angeles Lakers wanted to avoid this, they could have played more serious basketball in the regular season. A lot of steps they could have taken to avoid having to play the Denver Nuggets until the conference finals. They did not take any of those steps. Really, they just were not good enough in the regular season. But I'm not going to shame any team for giving up, 32-12 to Nikola Jokic, because he would do that against pretty much any basketball team in the world. What can the Lakers do differently moving forward to try and make this competitive? I've seen a lot of calls for D'Angelo Russell to head to the bench. 13 points for him on 20 shots, does not get to the free throw line, basically not causing the interior of the Denver Nuggets defense to have to worry about him at all. I don't really think Anthony Davis or LeBron James can play much better than they did. 27 points on 16 shots for LeBron, 6 rebounds, 8 assists. Like, 26-8-6 is pretty much LeBron's stat line for his career. That's what he is going to give you every single night. I mean, the guy's literally, it's actually insane. I mean, he's the oldest player in the NBA. Like, now that Udonis Haslem is gone, LeBron is the oldest player in the NBA, and we still are counting on him every single night to be this good. Anthony Davis was good in this game, got to the free throw line, did not make any of his three-pointers. I think they could start Dinwiddie. I've also heard, I don't know how smart this would be, but I've heard some calls for our old friend Max Christie to go from a DNPCD to starting over D'Angelo Russell, and you move LeBron back as like basically the primary ball handler, like he becomes the point guard. Does that work? I mean, how mad can we get at the Lakers? Like, the Nuggets are the defending world champions and probably even better than the Celtics. They just didn't try as hard in the regular season. They're the best team in the NBA.
It's when you look at the Lakers roster, right? You know how it's constructed. You got to go through LeBron James and Anthony Davis. I thought they provided greatness there. 27 points and 32 points. And also Anthony Davis playing 45 minutes in that game. LeBron James also playing 41 minutes. If you would have told me before the game you're going to get that type of production out of those two guys, I would have said that's probably going to be a Lakers victory, if not at least, Davis, a cover in that game. But you do need those secondary options to back you up. And D'Angelo Russell, again, 6 of 20 from the field, 1 of 9 from 3-point range. He's been knocking down his three-point shots as of late, but it just didn't work out in their favor. Then you flip it down and say, okay, well, what were the Denver Nuggets doing particularly well? Of course, Nikola Jokic, 32-12. That's what we anticipated. 22-10 out of Jamal Murray, and also 19 points out of Michael Porter Jr., which included 8 of 15 from the field. So as we take a look at the series and how it's going to progress, if you're looking at the Denver money line to win the series, it's expensive with that 1-0 series lead at a minus 750 price. The Lakers, if you want the dog, that's a plus 490. The spread now, Denver -2.5 games in the series, that's a -128. If you want the Lakers +2.5 games, that's a +104. If we're looking at the favorite, looks like a gentleman sweep in 5 games at a +170 price. But sometimes we have to take a look at, forget about the analytics on the court. It's what's in the mind here of the Lakers, just getting beat down time and time again from the Denver Nuggets. We knew it was going to be hard to go into Denver and win basketball games, but for the Lakers, you can't go down 0-2 like, okay, now let's get the series started once we get back in Crypto.com Arena. What do the Lakers have to do in game number two to sort of change this tone of, we just can't beat the Nuggets?
I mean, they got to make some three-pointers. You can't make 8 three-pointers in an NBA game and be like, all right, good enough. Yeah, let's go ahead and win that. Now, how do you make more of those three-pointers? Like, again, LeBron is a good three-point shooter, not a great three-point shooter. Their other best player doesn't really like to shoot three-pointers. Anthony Davis prefers to shoot from about 16 feet away from the basket is kind of his sweet spot. One thing that could work for them is Rui Hachimura only took 4 shots in that game. And if we think back to last year's playoffs, it was Rui who came off the bench and then ended up starting. That was sort of their big spur on action to be better than they were in the regular season. So that is something that the coaching staff could do there, is Rui's going to be a bigger part of the game plan there. And I mean, I do think benching D'Angelo Russell would probably work, because if D'Angelo Russell is not hot, He doesn't realize when he's not hot, I guess, is the issue. Is D'Angelo Russell believes he is one of the greatest basketball players in the world, which you would like. I mean, look, if you have a player, you want them to be playing with a lot of confidence, but you don't want D'Angelo Russell taking more shots than LeBron James. It doesn't really work. Now, how do you fix that? Do you start Dinwiddie? Do you start Christie? Do you start maybe you start Vanderbilt and you do Anthony Davis, Rui, Vanderbilt, and LeBron, and LeBron is basically the point guard, and Austin Reeves remains in his same role. I mean, the Rui Vanderbilt lineups actually worked again in the postseason last year. I don't know what Frank Vogel will do. Really, probably there's just no answer. There really is just no answer when Michael Porter Jr. is making 3-pointers, when Kentavious Caldwell-Pope feels comfortable enough. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope took the most 3-pointers of any player in that game. If KCP just feels comfortable enough to get, it means he's getting good looks, because KCP is not taking contested step-back 3-pointers, right? It's just not really the way it works. I just think, I mean, we are just on a collision course for a Nuggets-Celtics. Like, we've been talking basketball this whole first hour, and it just feels like, yeah, we're just going to have Nuggets-Celtics in the NBA Finals is really just the way it feels.
It does feel like that, too. And also, you take a look at the major minutes played in elevation in game number one. Davis, 45 minutes. Hachimura, 31 minutes in that starting lineup. 41 minutes combined out of LeBron James and Russell. And then you got 37 minutes out of Austin Reeves. You're just going to have other guys step up around it, because, again, if you're getting 32 points out of Anthony Davis and 27 points out of LeBron James, and forget about winning the basketball game, you're not even covering the spread against the Denver Nuggets. That's something to look into. But, again, as we said, sweeping last in the playoffs, sweeping in the regular season, and a 1-0 series lead already. Tough team for those Lakers. Let's flip it over to Madison Square Garden. The Knicks and the Sixers did battle on Saturday. We'll recap that next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Madison Square Garden was the place to be on Saturday night. A 111-104 victory over the Philadelphia 76ers in game number one of the Eastern Conference playoff series between these two. We actually saw a line that increased from 2.5 to 3.5 to 4.5 by game time for the favorites, the New York Knicks, and they do cover that point spread. But if we're looking from a Philadelphia 76ers side of it, Joel Embiid played 37 minutes, which included surviving a scare after a crazy dunk, comes down and injured his knee, left for some time, and did come back, which again, this is something to monitor throughout this series. If Joel Embiid can be 100% healthy for this playoff run, the questions are already coming up. 33 points out of Tyrese Maxey. It wasn't good enough. Why? Because you had that balanced scoring attack from the New York Knicks. 22 points out of Brunson, 22 points out of Hart. How about off the bench, Miles McBride? 28 minutes, 7 of 12 from the field, which included 5 of 7 from 3-point range and 21 points. The New York Knicks, the team concept, holds out here in game number one, Davis.
It does, and it did not look that way. I mean, a 12-point second quarter from the 76ers, but then a 36-point third quarter. I was like, man, the Knicks, they're the 2 seed. It's all going for them. I mean, Jalen Brunson was having a particularly brutal game up until the fourth quarter when he really turned it on, which I guess is kind of what Knicks people had been saying all year, is like the national meet, everyone's ignoring Jalen Brunson, all NBA, MVP candidate. They were definitely perturbed when he was not amongst the MVP finalists with Shea, Jokic, and Doncic. Everyone for the Knicks really played pretty strong. And this one, Mitch Robinson coming off the bench, 12 rebounds, did a really good job, did as good of a job as you can expect against Joel Embiid. I do think it's kind of one of these weird matchup wrinkles. If the Knicks do end up winning this series moving forward, Mitchell Robinson is going to be playing less and Hartenstein is going to be playing more. It's just that this is a really good matchup for Mitchell Robinson and a pretty bad one for Hartenstein, because he's a little bit, you know, he's a little bit more groundbound than Robinson. Robinson is going to have the quicker feet to stay with Embiid. I actually think of all the series that we've talked about, this is the one that is most likely to go the distance and be a really interesting series that kind of goes back and forth with the two teams trading haymakers. Worth noting, Maxey was, I mean, he was relentless in this game. Definitely was not his best game, though. Definitely not his best effort in terms of, you know, being efficient. 33 points on 26 shots. You also would like to see him get to the free throw line way more than he did. Only got to the free throw line once. I think also, I mean, getting Mitchell Robinson in foul trouble with Maxey, I mean, that would be huge. Like if he has to sit and they have to go with the Hartenstein Bogdanovich pairing for any period of time. Although we do know what Tibbs is going to do, which is that when it's time to dig deep, DiVincenzo not subbing out. Hart not subbing out. I mean, these dudes are playing. Josh Hart might end up playing 48 minutes multiple times in this series. I really wouldn't. And DiVincenzo might too. I know Miles McBride got hot and made 5 3-pointers, and that's why DiVincenzo played fewer minutes in this game. But when push comes to shove, Tibbs is going to be all in with his starters.
Take a look at three players off the bench for the Sixers and compare that for three players off the bench for the Knicks. You had Batum, minus 20, Reed, minus 21, Buddy Hield, minus 16. Flip that over to the Knicks, who only had three players off the bench. Bogdanovich, plus 27, Robinson, plus 20, McBride, plus 37 in 28 minutes. That's absolutely incredible. So if we're taking a look at the series prices now, the Knicks are the favorites. Basically, that minus 110 price coming into the series. They're now minus 290 to win this. The Philadelphia 76ers at a plus 225. The Knicks, a minus 1.5 series spread now at a minus 130 price. The Sixers, plus 1.5 games at plus 106. It looks like the favorite here is to go 5 and/or 6 games. But also, take a look at the boat here. Between 5, 6, and 7, plus 210, plus 210, and plus 220. So as Davis said, we're expected to go a long way in this series. Now, game number 2 is quickly approaching here. The Philadelphia 76ers have to check to see how healthy Joel Embiid is. So what is the vibes for game number 2? Because this was a close game all the way through with multiple scoring changes and big runs on both sides. What needs to change for the Philadelphia 76ers to pick up that victory in New York and take it back to Philadelphia 1-1?
Fully healthy Embiid, 37 points, 14 rebounds, blocks, 2 steals. I'm telling you right now, Donnie, we're betting the series price on the 76ers. No disrespect to Jay Wise, New York Knicks, but you know, the rule of the NBA playoffs is that the team with the best player wins a huge chunk of the time. Not only is Joel Embiid the best player in the series, healthy Joel Embiid really might be the second best player in the entire league. I'm taking the 76ers series price with a discount here.
There we go. Philadelphia 76ers, as we try to take a look here to see if Joel Embiid is going to be healthy. That's going to be the linchpin in this series. If he is, they'll stand a chance. If not, they have no chance. Hour number 2 coming up next. More NBA action talk next. Don't go anywhere.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.